to you today about being known. I don't know where I got that idea. Brian said last night, I had to tell your joke last night. Brian is the one in all kindness, he's an idiot. And I'm kidding, not really. But Brian is the crazy one. Brian has these little side jokes that'll make you laugh for 20 minutes until you cry, right? So last night he told Dwayne, he walked up there and he said, "Now, did they ask you to make that sign or was it just known?" That's what we put up with, Brian. I know, those are the jokes, right? But I'm going to talk to you today about being known. But today I'm going to kind of probably hit on some areas in your life that maybe you don't really want me to hit on, but oh well. I'm going to do it anyway, right? So I was looking for different things unknown, and I found this random company that had a slogan about being known. And it said that being known gives us a sense of responsibility and accountability that we would otherwise not have. That was a business model. But I truly believe that's something that we can adapt into our own life. Amen? Let me say it again. Being known gives us a sense of responsibility and accountability that we would not otherwise have. From a marketing standpoint, but it applies to our everyday life. Although for some of us, that may be the very reason why we haven't taken our relationship with God too far. Because if we feel like he truly knows us, and we truly know him, then we're held accountable and we're responsible for what his word says and what he's asking us to do. So some of us can find ourselves in a situation where we keep him just far enough away where he don't ask me to do something. You ever been in that situation in your life? We're like, okay, don't make eye contact with so-and-so because as soon as I make eye contact with that person right there, they are going to ask me to do something. Right? It's a strategy I use in kindergarten every day. As they come, you know, they're like, "Miss Taylor, I don't see you. Who's talking to me? I don't know," right? But it's kind of how we operate. But when we look at being known by God, doesn't it feel so good to know that the Creator sees you? The one who put the stars into place sees you. Have you ever been somewhere and you think that person doesn't know me or that person doesn't recognize me? All of a sudden they're like, "Hey, I know you." You're like, "Oh my gosh, you know me." Yes. Doesn't that feel good in those moments? All of a sudden you feel important. You feel special. My children hate it that I grew up in St. Louis and I know everybody from everywhere. Elijah asked me one time, he said, "Mommy, are you famous?" "No, sir, I'm old." I just know a lot of people in my 50 years of life. They get so frustrated. We go out and they're like, "You know, Mom's going to see somebody she knows." And as soon as we walk in, I'm like, "Oh, hey!" And they're like, "Oh, my gosh." We can't take her anywhere, right? But it's a good feeling that he is our creator and he knows us. And he even tells us in his word that he knew us before we were even formed. He doesn't have to stop and take the time to get to know us. He already does. I'm going to read to you a couple of passages from Psalm 139. Verses 1 through 6, it says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind, and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it." Oh, we love that, don't we? Until we really think about what it's saying. Let's think about it. You discern my thoughts from afar. Let's not talk about that. Right? But this one, even before a word is on my tongue. Yeah, some of y'all got scared right there. All them Facebook posts you started to make and then you deleted it, he knew it before you even typed it. All those passive-aggressive texts that you deleted before you sent them. Oh, I know some of you. You're looking at me like, how did she know? Oh, I know. Right? Because I've seen the ones you don't delete, right? Yes, Tiffany. And we love that you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand on me. So sometimes we really love the gushy stuff that makes us feel good. But then we pause and we think, wait a minute, how well do you know me? Then it goes on in verse 13 that says, for you formed my inward parts. Kind of gross, but okay. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your books were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. When as yet there was none of them. Basically saying, you already had the days formed and created and planned before they even took place. If I would count them, I missed it. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If you would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Doesn't it feel so good to be known? But some of us also know the feeling where we've been in relationship with someone and we think that they know us really well. And you think, oh, they got me. Until you realize that when something happens that they don't know you at all. I have sat in front of people that I have thought were my friends that knew me so well. But sat right there and saying things about me that just blew me away that they would even have that thought in their head. And you're like, what? People who knew me most or all of my life. And things being said, and you're like, there's no way you can believe what's coming out of their mouth. Yet they do. And it only reveals that they truly didn't know me. Those moments are tough, right? We want to be known because we want to be represented correctly, right? How many of you tell your children, you better act right, buddy? I only said buddy because I only had boys. You better act right, buddy, because you are representing your mama, and I will knock you out. I learned that technique from my mama. Hey, it worked. It sure did. This bullheaded girl needed it. You know what I'm saying? I needed to be knocked out a few times. But we are a representation of him. And does our lifestyle truly show that he is known by us? Does your daily walk, does your daily talk reflect the fact that you know that he knows your thoughts from afar? He don't even have to get close to you. He knows them from far away. when he knows the words that are about to come off of our tongue before they're even spoken? Are we representing in a way that we people can tell that we are known by God and that we know him? We love to be known. We love the fact that God knows us and he knows what brings us joy. He knows what brings us happiness. I think about growing up as a little girl. I love gifts. I don't know if that's evident in my ticket hoarding. But thank you for my shout. She cheated, but I don't care. But growing up, my mama knew me well. She knew me so well. I love gifts. So my mom would buy me an outfit, earrings, shirt, pants, socks, shoes, all to match necklace. And it would make sense to save wrapping paper and to put all of those in one box. But my mama knew me. So she wrapped the necklace in a box, the earrings in a box, the shirt in a box, the pants in the box, a sock in a box, another sock in another box. One shoe in this box, one shoe in that box. And the boys always wondered why I had more presents. It's because she separated them all. When I was pregnant with Elijah, I will never forget, we had a baby shower and mom came in and everybody was like, what in the world? She had bought a bunch of baby outfits, but she knows how much I love gifts. She wrapped 20 different baby outfits, individually wrapped every single outfit so I could open every last one. I love it. My husband knows. You buy me something, do not waste your money on no gift bag. Girl wants to tear open that paper, baby, and you better make it double ply because I need to open two times. I love being known. My husband knows me so well. He knows. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am an avid Cardinal fan. I am the one that stands at the TV and screams like nobody wants to watch them with me because I get so upset. And then I have to repent and tell God I'm sorry for being angry at people that I don't know. I mean, me and Yadi are best friends. He just doesn't realize it. It's fine. I love the Cardinals, and we'll get tickets to go to a game. Now, most of you know, seventh inning stretch means stretch your legs all the way to the car and beat all the parking. Anybody leave around that seventh inning? Yeah? Here's the thing. My husband knows if he wants to just make my little heart as happy as possible, we stay until the last out. He'll say, you about ready? Babe, we're losing like 11 to 2. Anything can happen. These are the heart attack cards. They can come back. As long as they get that pitcher out, we have a chance. For some reason, they don't like to take pitchers out of the game. I don't know. I scream at them every game. Chuck, are you with me? My friend Chuck back there is an avid Cardinal fan, too. He's screaming right along with me. We're tired of them keeping those darn pitchers in too long. Stop giving up runs. Okay, I'm moving on. But we love it when people know us. We love when they do things for us because they know us well. That is such a good feeling, right? We think about all the things that God loves about us, right? And he knows the number of hairs on my head. That is a very large job. You can ask my husband, because I lose hair. He'll be talking to somebody. I'm like, I'm sorry, but you have like a red curl coming out the top of your head. Like, let me get that for you, because that's awkward for everybody staring at you right now. That's a big job, right? I wash my hair, and it is, my husband told me to me, he goes, I promise you, Chewbacca lives here. Chewbacca is here, and he's showering in our shower. And I am very uncomfortable with it. I lose so much. If I did this right now, I'd... Yep, there it is. I'm sorry. I know, I'm sorry. So that's hard. We love the gushy, wonderful feelings, right? We love it when it sounds like poetry. And I wrote a couple of poems for you that I would love for God to say to me. Roses are red. Violets are blue. You have 1,457,223 hairs on your crazy curly red-headed head. But now you have 1,157,122. Right? He knows me. To those little bitty details. Right then, the calculator had to change when I pulled hair out. The clicker had to go down. But what we don't like to hear is this. Roses are red, violets are blue. You are still doing that thing we talked about that you once said that you would never do. We don't like those poems. But sometimes we forget that he knows us so well. He knows the good and he knows the bad. He knows the hurt. He knows the success. He knows the pain. He knows the struggle. He knows the anger. And he knows the questions. I love when my husband preached one time about prayer, and he said, you know, we feel like we can't tell God the questions that we are really having inside of our head. And I'll tell you, this last year, I got some questions. I don't understand. Anybody else have some questions you've never gotten answered to? When Jessica was talking about those unanswered prayers, sometimes, a lot of times, those unanswered prayers are followed by a lot of unanswered questions. But he already knows them. And his shoulders are big enough to handle your questions. Because it tells me in Psalm that he already knows the words before I even speak them. He knows my thoughts from afar. I got some questions. Do I lose my faith in God in the midst of it? No. Do I trust him anyway? Yes. But I can go to him and say, God, I don't understand. Because he already knows it's my thought. So we're going to talk about a young lady in John chapter 4 that God, Jesus knew. I'm going to pull up my Bible here. So go to John chapter 4, and some of you are like, I already know the story, and I already know where she's going. Well, that probably means God's getting ready to prepare your heart to point some things out. So get ready. In John chapter 4, it says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So it didn't make any sense why Jesus was even having this conversation with this woman at the well, because they had no dealings. So she was already kind of skeptical about what he was up to. You know what I mean? And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. What? And the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus offered her living water. He was offering her what he had to give, which was eternal life. But don't forget, she was known. She was known by him. He knew exactly who she was. He knew exactly what she was doing. He knew exactly where she had been. He knew everything about her life. She was known, but yet he still offered her the living water. Because then he says to her, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are correct. In saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Think about her in that moment. That was the roses are red, violets are blue, right? The thing I told you to stop doing, you are still going to do. That was her warm and fuzzy poem. She realized that he knew everything about her, and the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And what we say to that is, dun-da-da-da, Captain Obvious. Like, this man just told you all the things. He's not normal. But what she didn't realize is he was more than a prophet. But she knew something was special about this man. And he said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. For salvation is from the Jews, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you find it strange that he called her out on everything in her life that she felt he didn't know about her and then began to tell her that she needed to worship in spirit and in truth? She was known by him. He offered her living water. Then called her out on all the things that she didn't realize he knew. But then was like, listen, it is time. There's a time coming that you are going to have to worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He who is called Christ, when he comes, he will tell us all things. I think he just did. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And then the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and were coming to him. They offered him food. He said, no thanks. And he begins to tell them that the harvest is plenty. And then it goes on to verse 39, that many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Did he fix their problem right then and there? No. Did he walk up to her and say, listen, that's not your husband, but here I actually am okay to marry you and we'll get this fixed, right? He didn't do any of that. He just said, I know who you are. I know where you've been. I know what you've been dealing with. Yet I'm here to offer you living water. And because of her testimony, many believed. Some of you are sitting here today, and you are really in your mind thinking, I really hope the person that I came with today doesn't really know all my dark secrets. Guess what? They don't have to. He already knows. Some of you are carrying burdens, questions, sin that you have not been able to let go of, unforgiveness that is weighing you down in such a way that you just don't even know how to move forward. You don't even know how to get up and go because it is so heavy on you. He knows. God gave me a vision a long time ago. I was dealing with a lot of things and just having a hard time, and a lot of things from my past had kind of caught up with me and making me feel so overwhelmed, and decisions I made and the stupidity that I walked in and how I had to just bring him so much shame. He had given me parents that loved me. He had given me parents that raised me right. I'd been in church from the moment I was born. I'm pretty sure my mother probably had me there the Sunday after I was born. We were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, sometimes Saturday, but sometimes we took off because, you know, well, one time we went to a movie and they got in trouble because we shouldn't have gone to see movies back then. But I had to have caused him so much pain. And I was carrying so much shame and hurt because of what others had done to me. And yet it was my choices, my decisions that got me there. And he gave me a vision. I was at a women's conference called In My Father's House. And in this conference, Pastor Donna Shelton, it was such a sweet time in the spirit. And she said, God wants to show you the room that he has just for you. Because inside the room that he has created just for you, there is healing, there is restoration. Allow him to show you your room. And I said, okay, God, take me to my room. Like, send me to my room. I need something. And I closed my eyes, and I was in like this kitchenette kind of area, like a I don't know why, I can't think of the word right now. Anyway, it's like it has glass all around, like a little sun porch kind of thing. And I was there, and he said, tell me everything that you want to tell me. And I began to tell him things, but in the process, I was trying to hide things under the table. I was trying to sweep it under the rug because I didn't really want him to see it. I didn't really want to talk about that. And he stopped me and he said, listen, you see this? There's windows all around. Stop trying to hide it. I can see it all anyway. And I just began to just spill my guts to him about everything. And then he took me to this room in this vision. And I was in this grand ballroom, and there was a cross. I can see it as if it was yesterday. There's a cross in the corner of the room. And there was beautiful music playing. And he looked at me and he just said, dance for me. And y'all know I'm a really good dancer. I've won many contests here. And I began to dance. And all of a sudden, I felt so heavy, like somebody was just putting all these weights on my shoulders. And I couldn't hardly move anymore. And he said, put them at the cross where they belong. All of your shame, all of your hurt, all of your sin, all of your questions, all of it, go put it at the cross. And so I went, I took them all off, and it felt so good. And then he says to me, now, dance for me. Oh, baby, you talk about cut a rug. Y'all would have wanted me to open my own dance studio. You know what I'm saying? I began to dance, and I felt so free. But here's what happened. In my vision, the music stopped. And you'll never believe what I did. I walked over to the cross. I picked everything back up. And I put it back on. And I began to walk out of the room. And he said, stop. That's your problem. You come into my presence. And you lay it all down at my feet. You put it where it belongs, at the foot of the cross. Because you realize that what I've done is enough. And that my burden is easy. He's like, but then the second you walk away from that moment, from that experience, from that beauty, you pick it all back up and you walk out the doors the exact same way you walked in. I said, I don't want it. I don't want it. It's affecting my marriage, my poor husband, my Lord, how he endured me for the first 5 years of our marriage. I was hurt. I was snappy. I was, leave me alone. I didn't want him to get too close because I felt like he didn't deserve what I had to offer. He was too good. Y'all, he's so cute. God gave that man to me. He knows you so well. He knows what you're carrying. He knows the unforgiveness that is rooted so deep in your heart that you can't let it go because you don't even know where the root is anymore. Some of you are carrying so much shame because of your past, that you can't see past it. You don't understand how God could use you. He used a woman. He used her to bring people to the knowledge of him. You are called. You are called. You, each and every one of the word tells us that we have a ministry of reconciliation. My job is to come here on earth and to go to people and tell them the truth, give them the good news of the gospel so that they could be reconciled with their Father. I know him. Now my job is for you to know him. He knows you. You are known in all the ways. Some of you, that makes you really uncomfortable. And I'm okay with it. Because some of you need to lay some things down. Some of you need to let some things go. Some of you need to walk out of your shame. Some of you need to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You guys, when I first became a pastor's wife, I cried. Do you know who you're asking to be a cute, sweet, proper pastor's wife? I don't have the personality, if you haven't noticed, of a pastor's wife. But God has brought me in, and my ladies have told me so many times, because of your carefree, your woo! does he. And yet he uses this crazy, loud, obnoxious kindergarten teacher who sings crazy songs to her children every day at school that they're sick of it. And he uses me for the ministry of reconciliation because he's good and because he's faithful. So whatever you carried in today, lay it at the cross. Don't pick it back up. He's big enough to handle it. His cross is able to handle it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Father, I thank you for each and every one of these ladies in this house. Whatever it is that they are carrying, whatever weight is weighing them down, teach us your ways. Teach us how to lay it down and walk away and to not return to it. We understand that we are known by you. And more than anything, I want to know you with the same depth that you know me. So help us, God, to remove the things that are keeping us and are holding us back from doing all the things that you have called us to do. Because you know the plans that you have for us. And they are hope and a future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.